A federal judge ruled Monday that absentee ballots in Wisconsin could be counted an extra 6 days after the November 3rd presidential election concludes, as long as those ballots are postmarked by Election Day. This comes on the heels of a similar ruling for Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, where mail-in ballots are getting a 3-day extension. Both Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are key battleground states in the presidential race. But hold on, there could be appeals that change the story between now and Election Day. Our next guest joins us for a look at the news and how it could shape Election Day results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the absentee ballot extension in Wisconsin? Good idea, bad idea? Do you see it affecting the election results, either in outcome or timing of the outcome? What are the political stakes, and are you planning to vote by mail? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here.
All right, the current state of affairs, U.S. District Judge William Conley yesterday ruled that absentee ballots would be counted if they're postmarked by November 3rd, received by clerks on November 9th. How big a switch is that from the usual process?
Well, it's a major switch from the usual process, which involves absentee ballots needing to be received by the basically end of close of polling on Election Day. But again, we have really never seen this kind of crush of absentee balloting that we're seeing this year. So, but from a normal process, it is a change. It's essentially about a week extension for at least accepting ballots.
And you got to the kind of core of this story. We're seeing all these lawsuits around the country, not just Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, but elsewhere, related to mail-in voting, because there's going to be a lot more interest in mail-in voting. You think that's going to hold true for the general election like it did for primaries?
Oh, I mean, I think it's already holding true. So if you look, the New York Times has a wonderful tracking of absentee ballot requests. So, you know, we know, for instance, that there have been over 1 million absentee ballots requested in Wisconsin already. And, you know, that's just significantly outpacing where what we saw, you know, even in 2016, right? So we're at about 600, I think, percent of absentee ballot requests from 2016. And we're not even at the top of the list, right? Pennsylvania's much higher on this. So we're seeing significantly higher interest in absentee balloting in the general election this year.
Let's talk about what difference this might make in a couple different ways. First of all, do these lawsuits over mail-in voting have the potential to sway the outcome of the election by making it easier or harder for people to vote by mail? Is it going to tilt close states, maybe like Wisconsin, in one direction or another? How likely a scenario do you see that being?
So I actually see that as a, you know, I think it's possible, but I think it's actually probably relatively unlikely. The reason being that now this might be different in you know, the states that send ballots to everyone automatically. But in states where you have to request an absentee ballot, like Wisconsin, like Pennsylvania, like Florida, the people who are going through the trouble of requesting an absentee ballot are, for the most part, relatively engaged. And so the likelihood that the people who are requesting these ballots are going to be the people who would not have turned in a ballot otherwise seems relatively low. That being said, Wisconsin was decided by such a close margin in 2016 that it could potentially swing the margin. But I think, you know, I don't know that we'll ever know for sure. It's sort of an unanswerable question. But it absolutely it has the potential. But I think that likely the people who are requesting ballots are well-informed about the sort of the requirements and the needs of how to get their ballots turned in.
Another question is, does this all affect when we have a result? And I know technically we never have an official count on Election Day. That's not how it works. It takes a while to count these ballots. But we know enough that generally we can call most elections on election night. Do you see that being different this time around?
That I absolutely do think will be different. And I think that this decision might fundamentally change the when we know what the sort of unofficial count or when Wisconsin is in fact called. Simply because, and here's the thing, we know the numbers of absentee ballots that will be requested, right? And so we'll know the number that have been sent out. And so the people who are doing, the exit pollers and the people who are following this at a precinct level might be able to call Wisconsin. If most ballots are returned by Election Day, if they know Wisconsin sent out 1 million absentee ballots and 900,000 have been returned, and the election, those ballots, we can expect them to break a certain way, Wisconsin might still be called. But I think it drastically increases the probability that we won't have a call on Wisconsin or on a lot of states with extended deadlines until after the election.
Talking to Phil Chen from Beloit College about election-related lawsuits and when ballots can be counted when they're mailed in. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Belleville. John, hi.
Hey, I just got a quick question for you guys here. What happens if, in Wisconsin, I've already received my ballot. What happens if Donald Trump or Joe Biden were to pass away in between now and then? I know it's kind of a dark question, but if all those ballots already mailed out or already printed, how does that process go?
Phil, do you know how that works?
Off the top of my head, I believe that the party is allowed to name a successor. That name a candidate to replace the candidate who has died, and in turn those votes would then transfer to that candidate. I am not an expert on that specifically as it pertains to Wisconsin law. So I don't know for sure, but if my recollection is correct, that's what happened, I believe, in Minnesota when Senator Wellstone died, was that former Vice President Mondale was named and received the votes. So I believe that a party can name a successor in that sense.
John, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Now, another ruling from Judge Conley, again, subject to appeal, saying that clerks could start reporting results immediately on Election Day. In the spring election, the same judge had said that officials had to wait until a week after the election to start reporting results. I don't know, maybe that's a subtle difference. What do you make of that change?
I think that's an important change in some sense. There's a tendency for, there's just going to be a lot more attention paid to the presidential election than there was to the spring primary, right? The people who cared about the spring primary cared about the spring primary, but that wasn't a huge, that wasn't a sort of a nationalized election. And so I think that there would be a real fear among people on either side that if you just see no results for a week, that is a situation that's ripe both for conspiracy theories and for misinformation, as well as for just people to be unsure and nervous about what happened. And so I think it's totally normal to say, okay, they can start reporting, but they won't report, the final numbers won't come in until the ninth, right? So I think that's a fairly significant difference. That's, I think, likely, again, not in the judge's mind, but I think likely driven by the significant amount of attention that will be placed on the general election.
Are you worried about attacks on the legitimacy of the election based on mail-in voting? President Trump, very critical, saying it raises the risk of fraud, though no experts seem to say that that is not the case. Do you worry, though, that there's a rising concern about the legitimacy of doing this election a little bit differently than the way we usually do it?
Yeah, I think that's a huge concern. I think we've already seen misinformation being published around by candidates, as you said, by President Trump, around fraud that is simply unverifiable. There's no good empirical evidence that absentee voting produces higher levels of fraud than in-person voting. It's So there's already this sort of discussion around and this misinformation around fraud. And then that's going to be coupled with the fact that we know, right, that we know that Democrats, especially in places like Pennsylvania, are significantly more likely to request absentee ballots than Republicans. And so Democrats are more likely to request these absentee ballots in states that are likely to be pivotal in the election, which means if it's delayed, if the counting of absentee ballots is delayed, if they count in person first, we're going to see the vote totals all shift in one direction towards one party, towards the Democrats, which is another situation that is just really, I think, problematic as far as misinformation. It can breed misinformation when, in fact, it's simply a statistical reality.
So what are you watching for, Phil, in our last minute in the, few weeks to come now before Election Day?
You know, what I'm watching for is, one, what the effects of Supreme Court nomination with Justice Ginsburg's death, what that effect will have on galvanizing support both among Democrats and Republicans, and on how absentee ballot requests continue to grow. And then again, watching for these court decisions, I'm looking for appeals. Is the decision going to be appealed either to the appellate level or to the Supreme Court? And what does a 5-3 current conservative majority on the Supreme Court mean for the long-term stability of decisions like this? So there's a lot to think about, to look for, aside from just the polls.
And maybe briefly, Phil, the best practice if people are going to cast an absentee ballot for any candidate, any party, maybe don't wait for 7:59 p.m. on Election Day to run to the post office?
You know, I would probably advise you not to do that. One, I think the post office closes at 6 in a lot of places. Many cities and municipalities are setting up drop boxes either at City Hall. Those are all, fine. And actually in Wisconsin, you can take your absentee ballot if you've forgotten to mail it. You can take your absentee ballot to your official polling place and turn it in there as well on Election Day.
Phil, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. He talked to us about the 6-day extension to count Wisconsin's absentee ballots.